You are listening to the Sankofa Council of Milwaukee, where your host is Dr. Janine James, Brother Quojo Robinson, Brother Kwasi Kraft, and Sister D.D. Cotney. The program is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank, and it airs on the Time for an Awakening radio platform. Email them at SankofaCouncilMKE@gmail.com. And I repeat, SankofaCouncilMKE@gmail.com. All of their programs are archived. Just go to the website, www.timeforanawakening.com. Use the search portal and put in the keyword, elders.
This is in solidarity with our brothers and sisters in the United States. We stand with you.
We're poor, Ashe. We're poor to the creative spirit, the great Ashe out of which we all emerge, Ashe. We pour to that creative spirit by whatever name we know it, whatever name you hold in your heart, in your mind, whatever name your ancestors gave, whatever name you learned as a child, whatever name you believe it to be, whatever name you believe it to be in spirit or in science, Ashe. We pour to the first human beings who came into existence on this planet, the first human beings who raised the first structures, who cooked the first meals, who taught the first children, who had the first children, the first Africans, the first people who stood upright, who walked, who figured out how to stay on this planet, who figured out how to pass that knowledge on to their children and their children's children, the mothers and fathers of civilization, Ashe.
Ashe.
We pour the next libation to their grandchildren, their children's children, those who raised the great early civilizations of Kemet and Kush and Monomotapa, the great medieval civilizations of Ghana and Mali and Songhai and Kanem-Bornu. We pour to those who great the great civilizations of the Igbo people and the Hausa people and the Kikongo people and the Mbara people, the great Mande civilizations, the great Kikongo, the great civilizations of Southern Africa, the Bantu people, the great civilizations of Southeast Africa, the Dinka, the Shilluk, the Nuer. We pour to those millions who raised the foundations from which the world would learn what it meant to be human in the world, Ashe. We pour to their children who, upon the arrival on the shores of people they had never seen before, found themselves captured and marched overland, found themselves perishing by the millions before they were held on the holding cells and the open air pens on the coast of West, Central, Southern, and East Africa. We pour to the ancestors who did not know, as they were stripped of all clothing and sent denuded into boats, packed like animals and strewn their bones across the floor of the Atlantic and the Indian Ocean. We pour to them who in the last moment on Africa grabbed the sand and grabbed the dirt and put it in their mouths and understood that the only thing they might have to preserve their place in that continent was their memory of that place and their ability to pass it on to their children. We pour to them, Ashe.
Ashe.
We pour to those Africans and their children who, finding themselves cast adrift in Santiago, Cuba, who found themselves cast adrift in Puerto Spain, Trinidad, and Port-au-Prince, Haiti, who found themselves cast adrift in New Orleans and Charleston and Mobile, who found themselves cast adrift in Salvador, Bahia, who found themselves cast adrift in Barbados and the archipelago that formed the Wayward and the Windward Coast. We found them in these places, learning Portuguese and Spanish and French, whose often first words was, "Oh my God, oh Madre de Dios," who found themselves praying to survive and pass on to their children the memories. We pour to those ancestors who are represented in the thousands buried in all the square miles of where we stand, and who sit here, buried before us in 400 caskets forged of wood from West Africa with the Dinka symbols. Each one of them, each woman, man, and child, symbolic of millions. The children of those who could not be killed, we pour, Ashe.
Ashe.
We pour to their children who somehow survived the hells of enslavement and fought for emancipation in the Caribbean, the French, British, Dutch Caribbean, who fought for emancipation in South America, who fought for emancipation in Central America, who fought the struggles we refer to as the Civil War in the United States, who came out of that, marched out of enslavement through Reconstruction, and found themselves making great migrations, eventually ending up in places like New York. Their children's children, who making a way for themselves became our great-great-grandparents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, our parents. Those who, when the first bones were discovered in this space, held their hands and said, "Stop! No more! We are here to speak for those who can no longer speak with their mouths." We pour for those ancestors, some of whom came to Howard University in 2004 and followed these caskets all the way back to New York. We pray to the great ancestors, the ones whose names we know and the ones whose names we don't. And at this moment, as we pour this libation, I would ask anyone who feels comfortable to say the name of someone in your bloodline who is no longer physically here, but who you know made it possible for you to be here. Go ahead, let's hear the names. Haywood Carr.
Porter Griffin.
Thomas Lee Jr.
Evelyn Glover.
We pour to the names that we hold collectively. Ganga Zumba in Brazil. Toussaint Louverture, Jean-Jacques Dessalines, and Henri Christophe in Haiti. We pour to the great Avengers, Nanny of the Maroons of Jamaica. We pour to the great ancestors, Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Frederick Douglass. Say the names that you study Who are the names of the ancestors that you have come to hold in your heart and your mind as you hope that you can do what they did for us, for your children and children's children? Let's say some of those famous names.
Malcolm X, John
Henry Clark, John Dr. Jackson, Muhammad. Jacob Carruthers. And finally, two final libations. We pour to those who make it possible for us to do what we do. We pour to these rangers who stand guardian over this sacred space. We pour to these Africans and these folks who have come from Howard University, the staff, the faculty, the administrators who brought us here today to bear witness. This is not a libation, but an affirmation, because their hearts still beat, their tongues still speak, their minds still think, and their minds still wish the best for us. We pour for all of those people who surrounded us on this journey today and made it possible for us to be here. We pour this affirmation of thanks, Ashe.
Ashe.
And finally, we pour to your children's children's children who will one day stand on this space and speak your name.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go and what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. But clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day, but where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's all right.
I'll be honest with you.
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over.
I smile, even though I hurt, see, I smile. I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while.
What you do?
I smile.
Come on.
I smile. It's so hard to look up when you've been down. Show would hate to see you give up now.
God's people.
You look so much better when you smile.
Still don't mean today don't have purpose. Come on.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night.
It ain't easy, bud.
Today's a new day, but tell me, where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's all right.
The truth is,
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain.
That Holy Ghost power, y'all.
Fell from heaven like a shower down.
Now I know we've been hurt, y'all, but still.
I smile.
Come on.
Even though I hurt, see, I smile.
Can y'all feel that?
I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while.
Still.
I smile.
Hallelujah.
You look so much better when you smile.
Let's go.
much better when you're oh, oh.
Look in the mirror.
You look so much better when you're oh, oh.
Always remember.
You look so much better when you smile.
Come on.
I almost gave up.
I almost
oh, gave power up. That I can't explain.
But the Holy Ghost power, y'all.
Fell from heaven.
Came
like
down
a
from
shower
heaven. Down. Hardships, difficulties.
Right now.
Tears, storms. This is what I do. Oh, that feels good.
I know God is working, so I smile.
All things are working.
Even though I've been it for a while.
Still.
I smile. Smile.
Hallelujah.
It's so hard to look up when you've been down.
I know it's hard right now.
Sure would hate to see you give up now.
Because you're a winner.
You look so much better when you smile.
You look better.
So smile. Oh, oh, oh.
Tell us.
You look so much better when you go. Oh, oh.
New Orleans.
You look so much better when you go.
Come on.
You to be happy, but then you gotta have something happen. I want you to have joy, cause can't nobody take that from you. I see you. Smile.
You are listening to the Sankofa Council of Milwaukee, where your host is Dr. Janine James, Brother Quojo Robinson, Brother Kwasi Kraft, and Sister D.D. Cotney. The program is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank, and it airs on the Time for an Awakening radio platform. Email them at Sankofa Council MKE at gmail.com. And I repeat, Sankofa Council MKE at gmail.com. All of their programs are archived. Just go to the website www.timeforanawakening.com, use the search portal, and put in the keyword elders.
Welcome, welcome everyone, and we are here with you. This is Dr. Janine James, your host, as well as Brother Charles Robinson. We're glad to be here today, Brother Charles.
Hello. All of a sudden, my sound just went away completely. I don't know what happened, but thank you, Dr. James. And give me an opportunity to welcome our guests and welcome our co-host and to welcome our listening audience. Our program is designed to be informative, to be healing, and to also be empowering. And we have a very, very interesting subject. Actually, it was a subject that I oftentimes fear, and the subject is, what is behind your smile, implying that we need to go to the dentist. And the purpose of this, of our organization, Sankofa, is to use African's principles of unity and cooperation to create a healing environment for our community. And our talk show intends to do just that by bringing information, healing, and empowerment. So at this time, Dr. James is going to read the ancestral profile. Sister D.D. Connolly won't be with us this evening, and I'll turn it back to you, Dr. James.
Well, it is my pleasure to introduce us to the first Black dentists in the United States, Dr. Tanner Freeman. Robert Tanner Freeman was born near Washington, D.C. in the year of 1846. He was the son of a carpenter who had brought his family's freedom, then moved to Raleigh, North Carolina. His formerly enslaved parents took the surname Freeman, as did countless other people after gaining their freedom from bondage. As a child, Robert befriended Henry Bliss Noble, a local white dentist in the District of Columbia. Freeman began working as an apprentice to Dr. Noble and continued until he was a young adult. Dr. Noble encouraged young Robert to apply to dental colleges. Before Freeman was accepted into Harvard University School of Dental Medicine, he was rejected by two other institutions because of his color. With the encouragement of Dr. Noble, who had contacts at Harvard Medical School, Freeman applied there. Initially rejected, he was accepted into Harvard's medical school in 1867 at the age of 21. After a petition by Dean Nathan Conley Keith, Harvard School of Dental Medicine introduced a new faculty with a new unbiased policy toward race. Now that's interesting, even back at that time. Freeman was then accepted after being interviewed by the Harvard Dental School in the year 1869. On March 10th, Tanner became the first African American to graduate from that school after becoming the first African American awarded a dental degree in the United States. Robert Tanner Freeman and classmate George Franklin Grant became the first blacks to enter the 1867 Harvard Dental School inaugural class of 16. Upon Freeman's graduation in 1869, he and Grant became the first African-American dentists in the United States. Dr. Freeman returned to Washington, D.C. after his graduation to open his own practice. He became a pillar in the D.C. black community because of his commitment to mentoring other African-Americans to obtain medical professions. Unfortunately, his death came in 1873, only 4 years after he received his dental school degree. He was working in Washington, D.C., and he contracted an undisclosed infection when he died. Dr. Freeman's legacy extends beyond his short life. He was honored by the National Dental Association, the all-black dental group, which was founded in 1913 and is headquartered in Washington, D.C. The association adopted the mission of Dr. Freeman to extend dental treatment and education to those who were impoverished, were disabled, and people of color, as well as those who may not seek proper care due to age. In 1907, the predecessor organization to the National Dental Association, calling itself the Robert T. Freeman Dental Society, Freeman's success was influential in serving his African-American community. He paved the way for much-needed cultural and political change. Freeman was a pioneer for dentistry for minorities. Robert Tanner Freeman.
Well, thank you, Dr. James. I did not know about Robert Tanner Freeman. I really appreciate that profile. There's just so much about our history that we don't know about. And it's a shame that, you know, there's resistance against teaching. You know, there's resistance to teaching the true history of African Americans. But once we begin to find out and discover what we've done, I think that's going to empower us and propel us into the future. At this time, would like to introduce Sister Dorothea. Dorothea Arsante Smith. We've been practicing Swahili, and so we picked up some African names, and her name is her African name is Arsante Ante Smith. Dorothea Arsante Ante Smith. And she's going to be with us this evening as well.
Sister Doretha, we're so happy to have you with us. And I'm glad you're here. You're going to be picking up for Sister Dee Dee. And so if you would give us our call-in number and our email address.
Okay, thank you, Dr. James, and thank you for that warm welcome. I would like to say good evening to everyone, and I have a quick announcement as we continue with the broadcast, is that you would please mute your phones and be aware that the mics are very sensitive and background sounds will be heard during the program. I think that's something that we've been following very well, and hopefully we can continue it throughout the broadcasting this evening. Also, I would like to share provide the email address. Our email address is
Sankofa Council, Milwaukee at gmail.com.
That's it. Thank you, Dr. J.
All right. And thank you for joining us, Mr. Smith. This discussion is very appropriate and right on time. Sister Smith just came from the dentist. Is that true, Sister Smith? Didn't you have a visit not too long ago?
I did. I did have to have a visit to the dentist, and it ended up with a root canal. So I'm anxious to speak with Dr. Boyd in finding out what's the best follow-up for that, because there is a follow-up that's needed, I think.
Yes. You know, so what's behind your smile? Where do we stand in the health of our teeth and mouth as we learn more about health disparities? And that's one of the things that we do on our show. We talk about the health disparities. We talk about all kinds of disparities. And this one was one that kind of surprised me, because dental care is not usually present in my mind for some reason. But, you know, it should be no surprise that we suffer poor oral health even when we have insurance. And I just discovered that on the back of my health care card is dental coverage, which I didn't even realize I had dental coverage at this time. But you cannot be healthy and your teeth and mouth be neglected. So I'm really anxious to get into this conversation, and I'm going to take my lashes from Dr. Timlin, who, as a matter of fact, let me introduce her. She has a practice. It's called T.L. Boyd Dental Services, and she's been practicing dentistry for 29 years, and she's from Milwaukee and a product of the Milwaukee Public Schools. A lot of people don't think that Milwaukee Public Schools turn out good products, but she is an excellent product of MPS. And she participated in the medical dental specialty program. And after high school, she attended Marquette University and went to the University of Iowa for dental school. So at this time and without delay, I'm going to welcome Dr. Timlin Boyd, who she didn't probably know, but because I haven't been to her office in a long time, but I'm one of her patrons. Dr. Timlin Boyd, how many lashes do I get for that?
No lashes. Good evening. Can you guys hear me? I want to make sure you hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Good evening. I'm not gonna give you any lashes. Whenever you come in, we're gonna welcome you. And we're not gonna shame you, because I mean I think some of the reason why people kind of avoid the dentist, it may be fear and it may be shame. And so I think that's one of the things when you walk into a dental office, a lot of times we wait until there's pain. And so there's usually the dentist is associated with pain because we waited. But I try not to shame anyone, because whenever you come, we're happy to have you, and we're just going to treat you and try to get your mouth healthy so that your overall health can be good.
Well, you hit the nail right on the head, because I would normally give you a call and set up an appointment if there was pain in my mouth. And last time I was there, you may not even remember me, but I was supposed to get a root canal after extracting a couple teeth and removing the pain. I was fine. And I thought, well, the root canal can wait, because it was pretty expensive. And at the time, I think my dental insurance had lapsed, because I was paying for it through my Social Security, and for whatever reason, the dental coverage was dropped. I don't know if that's because Social Security didn't pay them or what, but I came into the office and I got so embarrassed, I thought I had dental coverage, and I didn't. But, you know, one of the things that I loved about coming to your office after, you know, realizing that, you know, it wasn't going to be that bad, you know. And one of the things that kind of eased the anxiety was the music that you played. Do you still play the jazz or the music in the background?
We still do play music. It just varies. It depends on the day. But, yes, we do still play music so that just to kind of distract, so that you're not focusing on the sounds or the noises that are sometimes made when we are providing care. Yeah.
I really appreciated that. I thought that was – I don't know if all other dental offices do that, but I really liked that. That was – a point of distinction that I attributed to your office.
Thank you.
And you had an assistant who was, we were always laughing. I mean, she made it kind of light, you know, by her, you know, her humor, with her humor. I don't know. I can't remember her name, but she was on the office on 80th and Appleton.
Okay.
And I thought, I don't know, is she still with you now?
Um, I That person has actually moved to Arizona, so she isn't. but I know who you're speaking of, and she was lovely.
Yeah, I used to look forward to coming in there and laughing with her. Yes. You know, one of the things that I was curious about, what, you know, there are a lot of health disparities, and maybe some of the reasons why we have health disparities in dental care and health care is because we don't have that many Black professionals, practitioners in those fields. And I was just curious about the dental profession. Are we well represented in terms of African Americans in that profession?
I would say no. We're not well represented, especially in the city of Milwaukee. We're not well represented. And I mean, I would say that usually in Milwaukee, or even in Wisconsin, they're usually an average of about 10 African American dentists. And people tend to move in and out of the area, but I would say there are probably only about 5 that serve the metropolitan Milwaukee area, and there are very few that serve some of our community that may have state managed insurance. And so in terms of access, there isn't enough access for our people. That's my opinion.
Wow. I remember when there was just one, I think it was Dr. Bobo, wasn't it? Did you know him?
No.
Dr. Bobo.
Where was his office?
I can't remember where his office, but I was told, it was my understanding that he was the first Black dentist in Milwaukee. And then there was another one subsequent to him, what was his name? Peter.
I mean,
his first name was Peter.
Dr. Morrell.
Morrell.
I think it was.
Yeah, Dr. Yeah. Morrell. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he recently passed a couple years ago. And we used to go out and visit him in the nursing home where he was at, because he was a member of my fraternity. But I thought that he was the first Black dentist, but it was actually Dr. Bobo.
Okay. I am familiar with Dr. Morrell, and I thought he was one of the first too. But I mean, I had only met him in passing, because by the time I had gotten out of dental school, he was actually retired already.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I did a little research, not a lot, but I was just curious about what's been going on over the last few years in the dental profession in terms of Black people participating. And it looked like everybody's numbers, like the Asians had an increase, the Hispanics had an increase, and I'm talking about professional dentists, practitioners. But Black people had a decrease in the dental profession, from 3.8%, which is really, really low, down to 3.7%. And these were statistics based on, I think, maybe they're 2015 stats. But is there any reason why we would have a decrease as opposed to an increase in the dental profession?
Well, I mean, I really can't answer that. But I would say, you know, some of it is just attending professional school is expensive. But I would also say, I don't know if schools are making it a priority to admit and have a diversity in their programs, so that the very people that are accepted into the programs can go out into the communities that they live in and serve them. So I don't know if I feel like maybe like I'm trying to say it, but I think a lot has to do with being open to admitting African-American students. I mean, I would feel like some of that may be the case in terms of, you know, making sure that those African-American students that are applying do have a place in your class. and I'm not, I probably shouldn't say holding a spot, but making sure that there is diversity across the profession. It used to be a time where dentistry was primarily, it was primarily men that were dentists. And then there was a time, you know, then you allow more women into the profession. But I think we also should account for, African American students being admitted into the class. So there should be a push to make sure that it's a diverse environment. So I would say that to me would be the concern, or that would be the reason why you may not see a lot of dentists or a lot of African American students or graduating from dental school. That would be my.
So there probably, I would suspect that there probably is some systemic and structural, you know, racism involved, because that's the way the educational system is, generally speaking. And, but then, you know, we could take responsibility for some of that too by promoting the dental profession and, you know, advocating, I think, what you just said, about advocating to make sure that, you know, there's some seats available for African Americans in dental school. I think this is probably good. That's what's happening across the board in the healthcare professions.
I agree.
When I graduated from college, I think that was 1971. There was 1970, 1,469 public, you know, elected officials, and now they're 10,000. They're saying that the black poverty rate in 1966 was 41.8%, but now it's 25.1%. So even though we've had a lot of progress in some areas, it seems like in the health professions, especially with dentistry, we aren't moving. And when you look go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I would say I would agree. I mean, even when you say, you're right when you talk about promotion. And I guess I was just thinking about my own situation and how I ended up where I am. I think there were a lot of feeder programs that led me to where I am. And when I look at the education system just overall, I see where a lot of those programs are being cut. And so if it were not for some of those programs, I probably wouldn't even be where I am. Like in the bio, you mentioned that I went to North Division High School. Well, when I went to North Division High School at the time, that was when they first started the medical dental specialty program, where they were introducing high school students to different facets of the healthcare profession. You could learn about nursing, you could learn about dentistry, and I think the other part was maybe more in the lab or lab tech. And it was just, dentistry was what I found most interesting. But even when I went to Marquette University for undergraduate studies, I participated one summer in what was called a pre-dental summer program, primarily for minority students. And it gave you an introduction to what dental school would be like. It also helped you prepare for the dental admissions test. And it just gave me a good foundation to take that next step into dental school. And so I feel like if there wasn't a feeder programs like that introduced me, I probably would have gotten lost somewhere in that shuffle, in terms of trying to become a dentist. But when I look at the education system, I do see where programs like that have kind of been written out because there wasn't a budget for it, or there wasn't a need for it. And I'm going to say the overall process or the people that make the decisions, they decided that this maybe was needed. But I think for some of our community, it is beneficial and it does help. And you will see results. You may not see, I mean, thousands, but even if you can see 100, that will make an impact.
Well, maybe one of the things that we should be doing is holding you up as an example, holding you up high. That program at North Division, that must have been around the time when North was, when that new North Division was built. And who was the principal at that time? Was it Cecil Austin or Texas Bufkin? Or was it before
actually
then?
Yeah, at that time I was in the first graduating class of North Division. So that was in 1984. And at the time that I graduated, the principal was Dr. Ronald Simpson.
Oh, Ronald Simpson. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then after him, I think that's probably when he may have come after Cecil Austin. Dr. Cecil, you know, we went to undergraduate school together. But yeah, that's, you know, your success is something that really should be promoted. You know, and that medical dental specialty program should be reenacted or reestablished. If does it exist right now, the medical dental specialty program?
I don't know if it exists right now, because last I heard, North Division isn't like the traditional high school anymore. That it's not the same high school that I went to, so I really can't say for certain. But I mean, the one thing I do think, as far as I know, in my class, I mean, my own personal physician, she was my classmate at North Division. So I mean, like, yeah, it does work. It did work. It worked for her and it worked for me.
What would it take to get that reinstituted? I mean, that would really make a difference if we had those kinds of programs at the high school level, and then maybe even mentoring as well. I know Dr. James has done mentoring of some of the medical students. Isn't that right, Dr. James?
That's right. And in regard to North Division, we do have a member of the Cream City Medical Society, Dr. Richard Evans, who actually is working as a teacher at North Division, and he has been instrumental in furthering some of the activities. I don't know if it's as formal as it had been when Dr. Boyd attended, but that is a way of providing a pipeline that has recently been developed, called Pipeline to Practice, to help to provide some mentoring for the students. The thing that I get concerned about, those of us who are here on the panel, I'm from Chicago, and I always had Black health professionals. We saw them. We knew them. I didn't know anything else but that. But upon coming to Milwaukee, I find a very different scenario. I asked people, well, who was their doctor as they were growing up? Did you all have Black dentists as young people? Because I think that's the first place where that starts. You have someone who you're seeing, that's your doctor, and that's someone you can ask questions about pursuing the career. So I think we have a problem if we're in a city and you don't have anyone to take that kind of interest in you. And frankly, I haven't seen a good indicator that other health professionals are necessarily reaching out to our children with that type of an interest. Even with our covered ancestral profile, Dr. Freeman, there was at least some, it wasn't a Black doctor, he was the first, but there was someone who took an interest in him And I don't see or hear people really telling that kind of an experience.
Yeah, I love that concept, pipeline to practice. And I think that's something that can be expanded and promoted rather than, because what we have by default is the pipeline to prison. You hear a lot of people talk about the pipeline to prison. But that that program in North Division, when I was growing up, North Division had an older facility. That's before they built the new North Division. And North Division was, in many people's minds, one of the worst high schools in the state. And when they built Highway 43, that put me in Rufus King's district. And I ended up going to Rufus King. And I was so happy that I had a chance to have, you know, the kind of education that Rufus King provided. But I didn't realize that that medical dental specialty program, after they built the new North Division, was turning out people like Dr. Boyd and her doctor. That's amazing.
It certainly is. And I think it's something that we have to have an awareness within our community of the importance of having Black health professionals. And certainly among the medical conditions, we've certainly shown that patients who have a Black doctor tend to do better with their health than those who do not. And I don't know if that's data has been gathered in dentistry, but I would be, and I'm sure we're going to talk about this more even in our next segment, but certainly are there conditions that seem to be more of a problem that we find for African Americans as it relates to their oral health? Is it a function of access to care, knowledge about the importance of oral health? Has there been any data that's been generated on that topic, Dr. Boyd?
Well, I mean, it really, the data really addresses, it's pretty much knowledge, access. Even when you look at, I used to work at a federally qualified health center, and so access was always a concern, affordability, and education. And so, I mean, those are still the issues. Those are still the problems that persist in our community, in the African-American community. And I think some of the affordability and access, the anxiety, we put it off and we wait. And then when we come, it is an issue where our children may have pain, or they may have decay, or we may have pain, or we may have decay as adults. But it seems to still be the same issue where, with people with insurance or without insurance, sometimes they just want to put it off and not look at it as part of being their overall health care. You may go to the doctor every year. Well, some people may not feel that going to the dentist every 6 months is as important. And some of it is based out of fear and anxiety. Then some of it is they may feel they can't afford it. And some of it is that you just can't access it, or you don't feel comfortable going wherever it is you can go to, if that answers
the
question.
Well, I just want to acknowledge you and appreciate you for being, you said 29 years you've been a dentist for 29 years. And I also want to thank you for forgiving me for the poor attention or the irresponsibility. But, I was in a program where we were assessing our areas of life. And I looked at physical fitness and well-being in that area. I thought I was doing pretty great, you know, because at my age, I'm 73. I play tennis, you know, two or three times a week. I get to the gym, you know, at least two or three times a week. And you know, so I'm thinking I'm in pretty good health, right? And then I noticed I am not putting any attention toward my teeth. And so that's a lack of integrity right there, you know, for me to be so irresponsible. And when I would show up at your office, you know, you would be there smiling, and you know, when you would have to extract something, you know, I would be feeling like, wow, I would be embarrassed actually, because most of my life I've had good teeth, and then all of a sudden things started breaking off, like the tops of my teeth started breaking off, and I wouldn't attend to them, and then they would have to be extracted. And that's just, and I don't come in and get cleaning. That is so irresponsible of me. I have to be authentic and tell the truth of myself.
Well, Brother Charles, while you're being honest, hold that thought, because you have a sponsor.
I have to be responsible. You want to give. Too. That's right. So we have to pay our bills, and we have to be responsible for sharing our sponsor. And our sponsor is eDoc Advice. It is a website created to provide a place to go to get answers to your health and medical concerns. The questions are answered by health professionals and those who are knowledgeable about helping you make decisions about your personal health that makes sense to you. And the website is www.edocadvice.com. And at eDoc Advice, we do not replace your health professionals or provide your care, but we can help you to become a better consumer so that you can get the best information to make a truly informed decision. We network with other health professionals throughout the country and bring that information to you.
Thank you, Brother Charles, for sharing that information with us. And we are getting ready for our top of the hour information, and to continue this really, really important conversation about oral health. And I hope that we'll be able to explore further some important concepts. You mentioned cleaning one's teeth. People need to understand the importance of that. We're hearing a lot about implants and understanding what would be an indication for an implant. We certainly have heard about dentures. So we're going to want to hear from Dr. Timolyn Boyd here, Milwaukee physician, T.L. Boyd Dental Services. And thank you. We'll be back at 215-490-9832.
As well as sorrow, will you love him both today and tomorrow? Do you really know him? take you through your Calvary.
Do you
really know him? Through him have you gained your victory? Is he with you in life's midnight hour? Has he freed your soul and given you his power? Do you really? When my life only went wrong, I put my life in the Master's hands. Now I have me a friend.
I know him.
I really, really know him. He's
salvation.
My Savior and
my best friend.
I know he will never leave me. I know he'll be with me. Has he told you you're his own?
Do you
feel that you know him? Do you know he'll never leave you alone? Did he take your feet out of the fiery place?
Yes, he did.
Is he the master of your life each and every day? Do you feel that?
Do you really
know?
You are listening to the Sankofa Council of Milwaukee, where your host is Dr. Janine James, Brother Quojo Robinson, Brother Kwasi Kraft, and Sister D.D. Cotton. The program is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank, and it airs on the Time for an Awakening radio platform. Email them at SankofaCouncilMKE@gmail.com. And I repeat, SankofaCouncilMKE@gmail.com. All of their programs are archived. Just go to the website, www.timeforanawakening.com, use the search portal, and put in the keyword, elders.
Welcome. We're back again. What's Behind Your Smile? And the Sankofa Council is here with our guest, Dr. Timmelin Boyd of the T.L. Boyd Dental Services. And we are delighted to have this Milwaukee native who has been educated in the Milwaukee Public Schools, attended North Division High School, Marquette University, and the University of Iowa. We are so grateful to have her here with us today. And we're also happy to have our council member, Sister Doretha Smith, who is kind enough to join us today. And she has had a oral health emergency experience. And I would certainly hope that she talks with us about that, and let's get some information from Dr. Boyd about that, the reason for that type of a treatment, examples of that. And as Sister Doretha mentioned, the kind of follow-up that's going to be needed for the root canal that she had this week. Sister Doretha.
Yes. Yes, Dr. James. Yes, I'm excited about the conversation tonight and dental health as a whole. I did recently have the root canal, but one thing, when you invited, allowed me to join the panel tonight, my interest was piqued as it relates to dental health or oral health as a whole. I may be a little basic about this. Everybody else probably knows, but as I was thinking about it, when we talk about oral health, what is that? Does it just involve the teeth and the gums? Or is it the tongue and everything that, you know, that's around the teeth that we need to be concerned with in maintaining a good oral health, hygiene, and health?
Well, so
that's one thing I would like to ask of the doctor as we move into the program.
Well, I can answer that now. When we talk about good oral health, we are talking about the entire oral health. Because even with the tongue, the gum, the cheeks, the lips, I mean, when you are going to the dentist, a lot of times they are doing an exam, and we're looking for any abnormal lesions that may be a sign of cancer, or sometimes there may be sometimes people come into the office and they may have like ulcers. Sometimes the ulcers are brought on about by stress. So those are things that we look at. Those are things that we look to make sure that things heal up, that your mouth is in a healthy state, at not just with teeth, but also with like the soft tissues in your mouth. Even with your tongue, we look to make sure there isn't any fungal or yeast growing on the tongue, because all those things are important. With the teeth in general, we're looking for any tooth decay, any bone loss, which may be an indication of periodontal disease. Those things really do affect your overall health. If you're in a position where you start to lose teeth, that means you really can't chew or masticate your food properly. And for that, that becomes a digestive issue, which leads to other problems for patients. And I'm just thinking, even with you having the root canal, a lot of times the root canals are done to save the teeth, because as dentists, we really want to try to save the teeth, because there's nothing like your natural teeth. We can make appliances like dentures, bridges, partials, but nothing functions to patients as well as their own natural teeth. You eventually adjust to the things that we make, but your natural teeth are usually what is best for you. But I mean, sometimes we have no choice, but, you know, to make things.
Right.
Now, Brother Charles, you were relating a story to me that I found just really fascinating. And we do try to pursue a knowledge of history. And that story, if you would relate to us, and perhaps Dr. Boyd has some additional information about the leader of our country, our first president.
You read my mind. You read my mind. I was just about to mention that. You read
president
my mind.
President George Washington. Tell
president
us that story.
George Washington, our first president, of course, he owned slaves. And, you know, he probably did cut down the cherry tree. But he took teeth. Now, this is I didn't read this myself. I heard it on a talk show, I think. And I've heard it more than once. But he actually took teeth from the mouth of one of his slaves and used those teeth as his own teeth. Have you heard that, Dr. Boyd? Did you know about that story, that history?
No, I have not heard that. My understanding was that he had teeth and they were like carved out of a tree or
wooden teeth.
Yeah, I didn't know that it was. No, I didn't hear about him taking them from the slaves.
He had a combination of wooden teeth, and then he had some teeth that he took from other people who were enslaved. I'm gonna research and document that, Dr. James, because I know it's true. I heard it from reliable sources.
Now, Dr. Boyd, the teeth, are they subject to rejection as an organ might? Could you take the tooth from one person and put it into another person and not experience a rejection issue?
Well, I guess what I'm thinking probably happened is they may have taken the teeth, but they probably only used the top part of the tooth and attached it to maybe the wooden base of, I mean, I feel like you still had to have a denture, but you cannot take someone's tooth and put it in someone else's oral cavity. That won't work. Yeah, and you can have rejection. But I mean, I feel like if you cut, because you're taking out the whole root, I don't know. I'm thinking of a movie where I saw where they would torture the slaves by knocking out their teeth. But I'm thinking it's just maybe the top portion of the part that the crown, but not the root. Because once the whole tooth comes out, everything starts to heal and close. So you couldn't put a root necessarily in there, but you could kind of stick something on top and attach it to something else, if that makes sense. You guys.
Yeah, I just pulled it up on my computer here. Mm-hmm. George Washington and teeth from enslaved people. According to George Washington's ledger on May 8th, 1784, he paid £6 2 shillings to Negroes for 9 teeth on account of the French dentist, Dr. LeMay. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but evidently it's documented in his own journal. And see here, it says, while it may seem particularly gruesome, a perfectly acceptable means of making money was by selling teeth to dentists. Since the end of the Middle Ages, very poor people have sold their teeth for use in both dentures and in tooth transplant operations to benefit those wealthy enough to afford these procedures. So evidently it's been done for a while.
Well, that's very interesting, and it's a sad, just one more sad story that we learn about the cruelty that we've been subjected to. And while these are sad stories, these are things that are important for us to know about. And so I'm glad that we brought this up. And as I was listening to both Sister Doretha and Brother Charles speak about, one, the need for a root canal as an effort to save a tooth, which I think is an important concept for our listeners to realize that the solution for a toothache is not simply moving to extraction or removal of that tooth, but that we can sometimes save that tooth. And I mean, you might say a tooth here and there, but after a while, you're going to have a lot of empty spaces. And as you say, it affects what our chewing experience is going to be like. And then Charles saying that you waited for a while to come in, and then when you came in, you ended up needing to have teeth removed. So I'm concerned that our listeners recognize the importance of coming to see the dentist. I've been, since I can remember being 7 years old and started seeing a dentist twice a year. And it was after having seen a dentist and they find 7 cavities that had to be filled. And I said, I didn't want that to ever happen. And fortunately, I think the frequent visits twice a year or more have really helped to be able to identify problems before they really become out of hand. And then there's the need to remove teeth. Dr. Boyd, what are your thoughts on that?
I agree. I agree. Seeing the dentist, well, I agree. I mean, everybody's somewhat different. Sometimes, and I'm going to say this because you're right, 2 times a year is what's recommended by the American Dental Association. But in some instances, some patients may need to come 4 times a year. They may need to come every 3 months because everyone is different. And as we And a lot depends on what our healthcare needs are. Sometimes when patients have really dry mouth because of medications they may be taking for other reasons, it's usually better to come in more often so that we can clean the teeth. The saliva that we make in our mouth is real important in terms of rinsing things off of the teeth. So sometimes when you do have a dry mouth, you may find that there may be more buildup on the teeth, which is not good for the gums and the bones that support the tooth. So we start out with saying every 6 months, but sometimes it may be every 3 months, or it may even be every 4 months. And it really depends on the individual. But prevention is the most important thing. The earlier you start to come in to see the dentist, even as a child, we're able to educate patients on the child on how to take care of the teeth, but also educate the parent on what to look out for and how to be encouraging to the child on how to care for their teeth. And prevention is like the biggest thing that I would say is very helpful in when it comes to oral health care.
And my son gave me an electric toothbrush, you know, it's battery operated. And, It works so well. It vibrates and it gets out part and be able to reach. And I'm just so thankful for having this battery operated toothbrush because it really does make a difference. I would recommend it. I was fortunate that the teeth that I had extracted were in the back, so I can still smile and nobody can see that I have missing teeth. I have all of my teeth in the front. And And I was just wondering how important it is for people to be able to smile. I would imagine some people are afraid to smile. And that's very unfortunate because it would affect, I would think, your self-esteem.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, our teeth are important for our confidence, our smile, how we feel about ourselves. Someone may not say it, but that doesn't mean that they don't feel that way. And I think that, so it's for your confidence, it's for your smile, but it also is for, you know, your teeth are functioning in terms of your ability to chew your food and get nutrition. But I would say even when we, you know, whenever anyone is going to the dentist, those are the things, I mean, and I try to say, especially in my office, there is no shame. You know, you're in a safe place. We're not judging you, because at the end of the day, we want you to have a healthy mouth, a healthy smile, but we don't want you to shy away from not coming or feeling embarrassed about being where you are.
I'm going to give you an appointment tomorrow.
we definitely want you to feel comfortable, and that's important to have that conversation. Regardless of who your dentist is, you want to be in an environment where you feel comfortable, one, but you want to have that conversation about, and when I say it, because I think about the smile thing, what your expectations are, because someone may come in and they may not say that initially, because I feel like patients, when you're not comfortable, you're just waiting for the dentist to just tell you what you need. But you also want to let them know what, as a patient, as a consumer, what you want, what you want to get out of this. You want a healthy smile, but you also, you want to know if you want your teeth to look a certain way. Like, those are things you have to say and let them know, so that, because you're part of the patient is always part of the process. And I try to let my patients know that, like, we're doing this as a team, because I can't always go home with you. I won't be able to go home with you, but there are things that you have to do also, and we can work together to accomplish that goal that you want to have once you look in the mirror. But I mean, it is it's a process where if someone doesn't say it, even if they're feeling that way, I really feel like most dentists probably feel like there is no shame, because if it wasn't for you needing to be there, we really wouldn't be able to serve you.
Right. We're going to open up this conversation to our listening audience. I'm going to give out our telephone number so people feel welcome to call in. And the number is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You know, there are a couple questions I have. I don't know if we have enough time in this limited space of 2 hours. And we're going to be having call-in discussions, too, I would suspect. But could you explain what a root canal is, and also implants? I'm just curious about how you can implant teeth.
Okay. What a root canal is, where we remove the nerve out of the tooth, and basically we go through the top of the tooth, and a root canal is usually indicated when the nerve in the tooth has died. Usually when a nerve in the tooth dies, there's either some infection present and there's a lot of pain, swelling, and discomfort. And a root canal can be caused as a result of a large feeling, or a large cavity in the tooth, or a large feeling being close to the nerve of the tooth. Sometimes a tooth is fractured, and it could be fractured as a result of the feeling. But it, like, one of the things that also occurs is, as we mature, sometimes we just start to develop internal fractures inside the tooth. But it will cause the nerve in the tooth to die. So we go through the top of the tooth. We go into the canal where the nerve is inside the tooth. We remove that dead nerve. We rinse it out. We clean the area out. We then place a filling material inside the canal where the nerve used to be. We then need to build the tooth back up. Most of the time, it's recommended that tooth is crowned because once we remove the nerve and the blood supply to the tooth, it makes the tooth more brittle. So we crown the tooth just to reinforce it and strengthen it so that you can continue to function on the tooth.
Wow, thank you. Thank you for explaining that. That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. And can I ask a question as well regarding that?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. When you get to the point of a crown, because I've been having to eat on the other side of my, forcing everything to the other side of my mouth, away from where the from that tooth. And so my concern now is, of course, getting the crown. But are there other options to consider, such as, you know, when you're thinking about once you have a problem tooth in tooth repair, such as, you know, bridges and caps and veneers and dentures, what is the priority consideration one should have as far as getting caps and crowns or veneers, for example, or, you know, filling gaps? Did you feel, should you not feel whitening? What kind of effects can they have on the teeth?
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, in terms of the tooth that's had a root canal, having a crown on the tooth really is the best thing for that tooth, just because, especially if it's a tooth that you use in the back or in the back of your mouth, the teeth in the back are usually teeth that we do most of our chewing with. So there is a lot of function performed on those teeth. And you want to definitely protect those teeth, because over time with the root canal, just by the tooth being brittle, the likelihood of the tooth breaking and fracturing or even splitting, it increases. So you definitely want to have those teeth, to me, crowned. And you mentioned veneers, and when you were mentioning veneers, to me, I was thinking about, because I know now a lot of patients want to close the spaces in between their teeth. I think that's what the question is, whether they should go and get the veneers to cover the teeth. Because I my thoughts are, if my tooth is healthy, and I wouldn't make a choice to put a crown on it, to put a veneer on it or anything like that. I think the most ideal way to close spaces, because people do want to put veneers on their teeth to close the gaps, but I think the best way to close the gaps may be to have orthodontics, which is braces. And that's a way in which you pull your teeth together through traditional braces or through some type of Invisalign, but you move the teeth to close the spaces. I wouldn't necessarily put a crown or a cap on my tooth to close the spaces, because in some instances, the result isn't always natural. Sometimes the teeth are a lot bigger than your profile, your face profile. And I just think if you can fix things with your natural teeth, that's really the best way to address it. I think another question you were asking was bleaching or lightening the teeth. I do bleaching. I do. Most people want it now. It's safe. It's not something that. Well, I would say this: you want to, before you start to bleach your teeth, you want to make sure you have a healthy foundation. So you want to make sure that you don't have any cavities or any tooth decay or any dental problems. If that is the issue, that's not something that I would do. Like, to me, when you're bleaching, you're just doing something primarily for aesthetics. It's not for the health. So you want to make sure that your gums and your teeth are healthy. Because one of the things and one of the side effects of bleaching is you may have some sensitivity with the teeth. In order for the bleaching material to lighten the teeth, there are small holes created in the enamel. And so if the teeth aren't, or the teeth of the gums aren't healthy, you're just really creating more of a problem by trying to bleach them. But with even with the sensitivity for bleaching, it does go away over time. Something that will go away initially if you have some dental disease already present.
All right. Thank you. Another issue that, and then I'll move on, is sedation or the numbing, which is fearful for a lot of people. That's the worst part, I think, for me was the numbing with the needle. Are there options out there that you can use without having to go through that? And how do you get the dentist to do that for you?
Well, there isn't a lot of, I mean, one, it's, a lot depends on the procedure. A lot of times if you have a procedure that requires a lot of preparation on the tooth, you're probably going to want to be numb. You're going to want some local anesthetic. One of the things that I guess I try to do with patients when it comes to numbing, and this is something you can even request of most dentists, you may want to just have them place a little topical anesthetic in the area that they need to numb 4 or 5 minutes so that the injection of the needle isn't as uncomfortable. But I feel like to try to do a procedure without numbing, it would just be traumatic to most patients, and it would make them not want to, you know, come. I mean, and I think that's one of the things that, you know, a bad experience affects you, and you remember that. I think it's something that really helps is trying to do things that take your mind away. Even as a patient, you may want to take some headphones so that you're not even hearing what's going on, other than, especially if you trust your dentist, so that you don't hear the noises other than, you know. And one of the things I try to always do with patients is let them know what's gonna happen. It's no secret, we're gonna talk about it. If you are afraid of the needle, then we're gonna talk about how I can help you so that we can get the job done. But I mean, it's very few procedures that you can do without having to anesthetize the patient.
Doctor, I mean, Sister Dorothea, I would recommend that you change dentists and check out Dr. Boyd. She really is good, and she's just, I mean, it's not hurtful. I mean, you know, you're going to experience some pain if you're going to have a tooth extracted, but it was always a pleasant experience for me. I really appreciate the service that she provides. That was not supposed to be a promotion or anything. That just tells me.
Well, there's a lot of discussion or a lot of advertising about implants, Dr. Boyd. First of all, do you do implants? Do you do them at the TL Boyd Dental Services? And also, when would one consider an implant? And do you implant one tooth, 20 teeth? How does that work? Decision made.
Okay. So first let me explain what an implant is. So an implant is a way to replace the tooth without, say you have a tooth extracted. Let me take a step back. You have your tooth extracted and you want to replace it. So an implant is a way to replace the tooth. So initially a screw is placed in the bone, and then the bone has to kind of integrate around the screw, and then a crown is placed on top of that. Now, it's usually indicated when teeth, like I said, when teeth are missing. And it really just depends on where the tooth is located as to whether it will be done. Sometimes, and you wouldn't place 20 implants. You wouldn't replace 20, let's just say you had 20 teeth missing. You would not replace 20 teeth. If there is someone, like someone may have an implant-supported denture, then depending upon the type, the amount of bone that's present to support the implants, you may have 4 implants on the top, and then you may have teeth that kind of snap on top to replace all of your teeth. In that case, it's not a situation where that person, they would have like a denture, but it's not a denture because they wouldn't have to take it in and out. It would stay in. But in instances where we replace 1 or 2 teeth, it's usually it's placed in a certain spot or in a certain area. Then a crown is placed on top. Now, I don't actually place the implants at my office. I usually refer patients out to a specialist. The implant is usually placed, and then what I do is I make the part that sits on top of the implant. Implants are usually, it's really like a 4 to 6 month process from beginning to end. I know sometimes there are commercials that say you can get your implant right away. That doesn't really happen right away. Really, what may happen is you may walk out with a tooth, but it may be something that's temporary, and it may be something that comes in and out of your mouth because the implant is placed. You really have to wait to see if your body is going to, if the bone will heal around it, and it's going to be a successful procedure.
Good question.
I'm wondering, Dr. Boyd, are you able to diagnose certain medical conditions based upon the appearance of the teeth? For example, someone who may not have been diagnosed as having diabetes, are there features that you might notice during that exam that would lead you to tell the patient, I think that you have diabetes and you need to be evaluated further, or that you may be at risk for heart disease based upon the appearance of your teeth?
I mean, one of the things with, especially when you mentioned diabetes, most of the time when patients are diabetic, and let's just say they may have gum disease or periodontal disease, and it is where we cannot manage it. That's usually sometimes an indication of a patient that may have diabetes, because diabetes, uncontrolled sugar levels have been proven to affect their overall gum disease. And so, yeah, it may be a situation where we may refer you back to your physician so that they can do an evaluation, because diabetes and periodontal disease do kind of go hand in hand. As far as heart disease, usually not, but I mean, we're always seeing situations where there may be some inflammation, some bone loss. But most of the time, in terms of referring a patient back to their physician, one of the initial things we do is once they're blood pressure is really high, we're usually referring them back right away, because sometimes patients may come to the dentist before they go to the doctor and they may not even realize that they had high blood pressure. So we try to, you know, screen them with doing the high blood pressure, because that will refer them back to their physician.
Thank you.
I have a question about some costs too. But before we do that, we have to pay some bills, and I'm going to have another announcement about our sponsor. But I would be interested later on, before we finish this call, to find out about the cost associated with implants and caps and crowns and braces, and how we can, you know, pay for those things, because they sound like they're very expensive based on what I'm hearing. But at this time, we're going to do another announcement. EDOC. Provide specific medical answers to those seeking a better understanding about medical conditions and health. We offer our faculty of EDOC, who are licensed physicians and health professionals, who make themselves available to those globally seeking a better understanding of health issues and medical practice. And the sponsors, other sponsors are welcome too. So if you have a service, talking to the listening audience, if you have a service or you want others to know about, or have you written a book, if you want to share what you may want to promote, you can consider being a sponsor yourself. And our email is email the Black Reality Think Tank at Sankofa_think@outlook.com. So the email, if you want to email, send an email to our station, you can email the Black Reality Think Tank at Sankofa_think@outlook.com. And contributions to support our broadcasting efforts can also be sent to Cash App at $NIRVANAINSTI. That's Cash App, capital NIRVANAINSTI, and also at PayPal, Sankofa_think@outlook.com. So, Dr. James, do we have any callers?
We have 678-923. Do you have a question or a comment for Dr. Boyd or for the council? 678-923. Okay, well, perhaps they're listening.
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, Dr. James, and you and I discussed this briefly about the cost of some of these dental services, root canals. When I heard how much it costs, it kind of ran me away. And but now that I have insurance, maybe I can afford it. But now I'm also finding that it depends on the kind of insurance you have. Like my insurance is through Medicare, and I don't know if that would fully cover a root canal or braces or crown. Can you give us a kind of like a ballpark figure of what those procedures might cost, Dr. Boyd?
Okay. Well, like most root canals, I mean, and it really just depends, but I will say, even when I'm just thinking about with Medicare, well, with Medicare, more than likely, they're not going to cover any type of orthodontics for you. Maybe not, but I would say most orthodontic, depending upon, and this is braces, depending upon the type of treatment you need, it can range from $3,500 to $5,000, maybe. Usually the way braces work is you pay a certain amount down because you'll be in treatment for at least, let's say, 16 months. It's usually broken down to a monthly payment once you pay your initial down payment. So that would vary. Most crowns may average about $900 to $1,000. Root canals vary. It depends on the tooth. And it's based on the difficulty of the tooth and where the tooth is located. And so it may range from $600 to $800. But I would not, if I were the average consumer, I wouldn't always let cost be the biggest concern. First, I would ask, well, what can I do? Like, what can I get? And you just never know what you can get. And when I say that, like, don't let cost be an issue as to why you don't go to the dentist. At least go and find out what you really may need. Now, implants are costly. Usually implants are probably about $4,500 per implant, mainly because once you have the actual implant placed inside the bone, you then have to consider what's going to be placed on top. I mean, and right now, even with the various healthcare plans that are being placed, I would even look into some of those. I mean, I have some patients who may pay $7 for their, and this is for patients that may not have, or people, consumers, I'm going to say, that may not have insurance through their employers. They may be able to get a dental coverage for $7 a month. You know, it may not be a high annual coverage, but sometimes some coverage is better than no coverage. And even if it can help offset some of the costs you may have, I don't know if $7 a month will work, but I mean, $7 a month when you don't have anything, if that's all that you're paying and you may need a cavity or just a cleaning, that can help.
Yes. Now I'm looking at the back of my Medicare card, and it says UHC. Mm-hmm. That stands, is that United Healthcare?
Yeah.
Okay. And it says UHC Dental Providers, UHC, and then it has a website. So I could just call them, and I'm going to call them tomorrow. tomorrow Sunday. Monday, and see what my coverage is and what my options are. Is that what you recommend?
You can call United Healthcare. Most of their Medicare plans do cover most of the dental services. Maybe not the orthodontics. That's the only thing they wouldn't cover. And then you know when you go into your dental office, and usually in most dental offices, we will check to see what your benefits are. And once we find out what your benefits are, we share that information with you and you can decide, you know, and that's something you would decide with your dentist anyway. What is affordable for you? Cause but you still want to make sure that you're getting your services, but what will work for you? Cause sometimes you can even, if your ultimate goal is to have one thing, like how can we work towards that goal? Usually the way insurance companies work, you get so much coverage per year. So sometimes what you may have to do is do as much as you can do within a given year, and then the next year you may decide, okay, I'm going to do the rest of my treatment. And that's only if you can afford to kind of defer treatment. But, I mean, that would be a recommendation that I would have for you.
So spread it out and be strategic. I see. Now, there's a website on here, too. There's a website for www.uhcdental.com. And I could probably just check out the website as well, too, right?
You probably could. And you probably could also, it probably is a member ID on there. So you will put your member ID number in, and it would also give you a breakdown of what your benefit coverage is.
Okay.
Now, I've had to do some patient advocacy regarding this topic as it relates to funding the dental services. And I would like to make everyone aware of the availability of the federally qualified health centers, of which we have about four, I believe, in Milwaukee. They are in every city, and most have a dental department with a dentist or a dental hygienist to assist and provide certain services. So there's really no reason for one not to seek some dental services. Now, they are limited. They don't do implants, and there are probably a number of other things they may not do, but they certainly can do an assessment and extractions or removal of teeth as those are needed. And the costs may be extremely low based upon a sliding fee scale based on one's income. But this is a way of making sure that people do, in fact, have access to health care, which includes dental services. As it relates to those who have insurance, Medicare, for example, may cover if one has a PPO program, may cover $2,000 worth of services in a year, which may sound like a lot. And when I was much younger, I was able to maintain my teeth with less than $2,000 expenditure. But as we get older, I'm finding that people have a more extensive or more complex dental needs. And one can contact their insurance about purchasing additional plans that would provide greater procedures, greater number of procedures, or may pay more of the cost of that particular procedure or treatment, so that your out-of-pocket costs can be less. So I think that, Charles, particularly as you're speaking about the plan that you have, I suspect that you may find that it may not be sufficient in the event there was truly a need. And generally, you can sign up for these plans, and there may be a 30-day waiting period from starting it before you're eligible to begin to use that benefit. But I also find that there are some providers who are not accepting Medicare patients. And Dr. Boyd, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that. I know that in my office, what we find is that the reimbursement for the services for Medicare patients is actually very low, and we're not able to bill for the difference from what Medicare pays and what those services cost. Dr. Boyd, what do you find that to be the case for dental services and Medicare?
That is true. It is the same. That is true for Medicare as well as Medicaid. Any state managed insurance, or any state managed insurance, you are not compensated for what it may actually cost. You are expected to, and you agree to take a, you know, lesser fee.
Dr. Boyd, right. Many years ago, I remember reading a study on, it was a breakdown of the various professions, and I remember reading something about dentists. And it was saying that a lot of dentists, you know, like teachers, you know, have a lot of neuroses based on that study. And they never see the end result of the work that they do with the children they teach. Now, with dentists, I remember the study was saying something, showing something, indicating that dentists had some problems with inflicting pain on people, you know, when they extract teeth. So after 29 years of inflicting pain, does that have an impact on you or dentists in general when you're doing that almost day to day?
I will say you do not like to inflict pain. I think we most of the time go in with the idea that we're trying to help relieve pain. But in some instances, of course, patients feel like we're causing the pain. However, you know, you have to kind of remove yourself from, I did not cause this, but I am here to help this. And I think, you know, that's always the approach. Can it be overwhelming? Perhaps. But I think, you know, part of the reason why we're associated with pain is because patients usually put getting that treatment or that service off. And you put it off until where now it's a problem. And now it's a problem and we have to kind of address it and deal with it.
So it depends on having a healthy context for what you do.
Right, right. You really, I mean, and for me, I don't take it personal. I usually just want to, at the end, hopefully this become my friend and they realize I'm here to help and not to hurt.
Dr. Boyd, it has been such a joy and an honor to have you with us here today. We have learned a great deal, and I'm sure our listeners feel the same. And Brother Charles, are you going to get us ready for our closing?
Yes. Just what you said. Thank you for listening. And I've gotten a lot out of this. I took a lot of notes. And I'm sure this was very informative for the listening audience as well. And also, I thank the Sankofa Council for its support in providing this program and for the sharing of their vision, our vision. I'm a part of Sankofa as well, for the unity following an Afrocentric approach or principles, and helping us to learn and use those principles in our lives. And so we look forward to bringing you more programs that we hope you will enjoy and benefit from. And make sure you visit our sponsor, www.edocadvice.com. So thanks again, Dr. Boyd, and looking forward to seeing you again. And good night as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Boyd.
In the mood to jail, I no go keep myself here on Lala. Hala no de finish. I go happy myself, na-na-na. Ready to go lolo, ready to go savour. Life in a yololo, life in a yololo. More back everybody, but they me on the floor. No, they worry at all. Hey, enjoyment, no, because I'm my freaking, you know. Show you got it, but forget. Enjoyment, no, before some of the king, you know. So yeah, I want to party, mama. Elelelele, oh God, DJ, give me some more. Elelelele, but too laughed about too long.